I am the vine and ye are the branches. Bear precious fruit for Jesus today. Branches in Him, no fruit ever bearing. Jesus had said, He'll take it away. Now you are clean through words I have spoken. Living in me, much fruit ye shall bear. Dwelling in you, my promise unbroken, glory in heaven with me to share. These are the words of the first two verses of the song that we just sang, I Am the Vine, written by Knowles Shaw, a song known by many, and evidently you're able to sing the song. We wondered if everybody would know it, but this is an old song, I think. It's been many, and probably in the Christian hymns, what were those Christian books? We used to have the old ones, Christian hymns number 2, number 3, and all that. I think it used to be there, because I think I let it. Through the singing of this hymn, we fulfill one admonition from God's Word in Colossians 3:16, where we're told to teach and admonish one another in psalm and hymn and spiritual songs. This is one of the ways we worship, and we fellowship one another, and we encourage one another. For we enjoy singing, don't we? The words of a song, many times, because of the melody and because of the phraseology, the way that a writer puts those words together, can really mean much to us. This song gained its inspiration likely from the words of Jesus found in John chapter 15. We're studying the book of John, and in the time frame of the days before Jesus' birth, Jesus' death, excuse me. It is on a Thursday, and we can figure that out. One reason I like to study from a book and go from chapter to chapter, it's easy to figure out where I am chronologically in the life and time of Jesus. So we're on that Thursday, just before he's to be crucified on Friday, just before he's to be betrayed on Thursday night by Judas Iscariot, and just before he's to go through those mock illegal trials that are being held at night on Thursday night. So that space in Jesus within 24, all that space in Jesus within 24 hours. Jesus is seeking to tell those disciples and talk to his apostles. Judas has left the scene now. They've had the Last Supper, and Jesus has left them that Last Supper to go and do his deed. And so there are only the 11 remaining with Jesus. But Jesus continues to teach. He had talked to them about the lesson of the child. He talked to them about other things that would, who's the greatest in the kingdom, they wanted to know. And Jesus said, you need to humble yourself, folks. He said, you need to humble yourself. No, one of you is not going to sit on my right hand and one on the left hand. There won't be such a kingdom as that that will be earthly, where we'll have this earthly throne. You've got some growing to do, he says to these disciples. And he has much to tell them in the next few hours as he lives with them. He wants us to strengthen that relationship that they have with him. So let's look at John chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 through 11 with little, if any, comments. And then we'll look at this in quite some detail. John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, please open your Bibles with me and read along. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, He's talking about those who are the vines and yet are not continuing to abide. And withered, and men gather them and cast them into fire, they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be granted, or it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Confirm, continue ye in my word. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Our lesson this morning, I'm the vine and ye are the branches. And the time, as I mentioned, of this teaching by Jesus, we learn in John 14:31 that Jesus just concludes his remarks after the Lord's Supper, after he's been in the upper room. Also, as mentioned, Judas has left the group, and likely these words are spoken by Jesus, and I think it's not likely, I think it's pretty positive, and they're spoken on Thursday night. As Jesus and his apostles make their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, we're told, I think, in another of the books that they sang a hymn, and then they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. But on the way, Jesus continued to speak to them. One thing he spoke to them about is about the fact that he's a vine and they are the branches. And so he's going to talk about the closeness of their relationship with one another, and he's going to do it with something that will grab their attention. Isaiah used similar imagery in Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7. In fact, I don't have that marked or listed on here, but let's read it. Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should have brought forth grapes, I brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, and there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. So Isaiah used the figure of this vine and branches to point out how Israel had disappointed God, and how displeased God was with them for not being productive. They were not productive in their lives. And so Isaiah concludes about this vineyard, which was initially properly prepared. The branches were purged or they were cut as you would prune a tree. And as they did back at that time, they built a wine press within that area. They had a fence around it to keep varmints and to keep people out of it, for the most part anyway. And everything had been done to make it a proper vineyard. And yet it didn't remain so. And God was displeased with them. So Jesus made use somewhat the same extent of this imagery. And he applied it to the relationship between himself and his disciples, the 11 men that he had trained for those three and a half years. Of course, application can be made to us as we look at the way Jesus spoke to his disciples. For we are to be followers of his today just as they were followers of his then. Jesus continues to respond to the needs of the apostles. He knows that in just a few hours, so many things will happen that they will not thoroughly understand. He had tried to prepare them for this time. His hour had come. His night had come. Before the next 24 hours were over, Jesus would be crucified. He would be dead. He would be buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a barred tomb. And that tomb would be sealed. And they would be discouraged. They would be lonely. They would be in doubt. And so Jesus had earlier issued the words of John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." They will need this information. They will need this from Jesus. They will need to remember it. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also." Because they're not going to be able to see him pretty soon. They're not going to be able to think that the kingdom that he spoke about is ever to come into existence. Because their mind still says, earthly kingdom. Earthly kingdom. Right hand. Left hand. That's the picture. That picture has to be obliterated from their minds. That picture has to be overridden by a true picture of what is to happen. That will come days ahead. But Jesus is still preparing. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way." Oh, they're going to doubt that. He's the way. He's in the grave. That's all they know for a few hours. He's in the grave. He's dead. Now where is the kingdom? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." They can remember those words and ponder them and wait until they have some more meaning. Jesus does not merely show the way. He says, "I am the way. I am the way." It's by Jesus that the apostles, it's by Jesus that we today as Christians have access to the Father. So now in John 15 verses 1 through 11, Jesus points out the first and most important relationship that they should keep in mind as they have the discouragement and doubt, and as they are pondering what the things that Jesus said. They need to keep in mind that the most important relationship they're to have is between themselves and Jesus. Between themselves and Jesus. So in order to have them focus clearly on that teaching, Jesus proceeded to tell them of the allegory, a story about a vine, but not just any vine, about the vine, about him being the vine, and the branches. So he explains the need of that relationship. He uses the allegory of the vine. They can remember the vine and then remember the teaching. This was something that was familiar to these disciples. Perhaps they were passing vineyards as they were on their way to Gethsemane. There were vineyards everywhere in the area of Palestine. The soil there was conducive to producing those vineyards. They were everywhere. And likely they saw them. Also, I'm told that the vine was the emblem of their nation. And so this would be something that would be seen as they made their way and would be seen in their mind's eye, at least. So there, the vine was their emblem, just as the eagle brings images to us when we think about it, being the sign or the emblem of this nation. Somebody has summarized the primary points of the resemblance between the vine and the disciples, the vine and the branches, as the disciples and the Jesus and his relationship to the disciples. Someone has said there is indicated in this particular writing, this particular story, allegory that Jesus has, the right stock. I am the true vine. You just couldn't go into a piece of ground and till it up and just put any old grapevine in there to start off your vineyard. So Jesus was the right stock. He says, I am the true vine. We'll look more details to these thoughts a little bit later. I'm the right stock. He had the right expert, for he said, you know, the one who's to keep the vineyard, the husbandman, is God. The one who's to take care of this vineyard is God. So we're talking on a spiritual, we got an earthly story here, almost like a parable as far as that idea is concerned. An earthly story that has a heavenly meaning to it. The right culture. Every branch in me, Jesus said, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. You can't keep the vines the branches on the vine if it's not bearing fruit. It's like, I guess, in my feeble brain, thinking about that little tree I have out in the yard. If there are branches down in there or on that tree that are not that are dead, you know, and sometimes that happens when freezes come, maybe part of the tree dies. Those branches need to be cut off. Those branches need to be cut off. They're doing no good. They're not going to produce any leaves. They're not going to produce any fruit if it's a fruit-bearing tree. So they're useless. And as far as these vines were concerned, or the branches of the vine in Jerusalem, they were totally useless. When they were good only to be burned up. They just piled them up somewhere and burned them to get them out of the way. Because they had to concentrate on those vines that were still producing. Those vines that were producing then would produce more. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. The spiritual application? A little sad sometimes to think about that, isn't it? He takes it away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. There may be some pruning going on, even with the branches that are doing well. But to prune them, and sometimes you've seen trees being pruned, and sometimes we don't like the way NES does it, but or some of these other people, the way they prune them. But if you prune that tree where it may not look too well at first, but eventually it will come out and it'll be shaped appropriately if folks know what they're doing. And it'll serve the purpose for which it's to serve. And that's Jesus talking here in this allegory of the vine and the branches. The right culture, the right contact. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. There has to be nourishment from the vine to the branches for there to be growth. And they have to be connected. You can't take off a good branch, just whack it off and just lay it over here on the ground somewhere. It doesn't produce by itself. It doesn't produce by itself. The right fruits, the same beareth much fruit. The same beareth much fruit. Now let's talk about those individuals, individually, the right stock. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. So he said, I'm not some false vine. I'm not some vine that you picked up. You know, sometimes we go get a tomato plant and we think we've got one brand of tomato, and when that tomato starts bearing fruit, we find out we got that other kind and we didn't get those the kind that we wanted. And I forgot the names of them. Gulf State was one that Daddy used to like. Same thing with corn. I didn't get the right kind of corn. Look at those ears of corn. They're just not going to taste worth eating. They just don't look right. But here, you've got the right stock. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. The word true means genuine. The word true means real. So Jesus says, I'm the genuine vine. So there, he wants them to focus on the fact that he was real. He said, I'm the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. He proved it by his miracles. He had taught them. He said, now believe it. You believe in God, believe also in me. And abide in me. Stay in me. They had been immersed in Jesus Christ and his teachings for three and a half years, hadn't they? And now he wants them to grow from that. So the first essential in planting a vineyard is to have the right stock, the right beginning. Jesus alone is the source of the heavenly life, the spiritual life of the vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The right expert. Every vineyard back at that time, I read a little bit up on the vineyards, but every vineyard required somebody to dress it, to trim it, to keep it, and to watch out after it. And they did build fences. I thought at times that they maybe were like the old West. They didn't have fences. The cattle and everything just ran wild, or they had gardens or whatever, and they didn't require. But they had animals that would come in and eat. They had people that would come in and steal your grapes. People could come in and eat grapes if they were hungry, but they couldn't take any of your grapes with them. They left the grapes along the side of the vineyards for those who were poor and who were hungry that would come by. But as far as the vineyard itself, the vineyard was fenced. They had a watchtower, a watch place built in and around that vineyard. And they had the wine presses there. I thought they probably would have had the wine presses back where the house was and nearby there. And they toted all those grapes down there. But that's not what they did in some of these massive vineyards. So the right expert, every vineyard required somebody to dress it, trim it, and keep it, and what better one in the spiritual area of the vine and the branches than God to keep it, to develop it, and to train us, to teach us, to equip us. The Word of God equips us, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3. The right culture. Disciples in this allegory grew out of Jesus. They had been with him three and a half years. And he's wanting them to go forth convinced that he is the Christ. Convinced enough to carry out the great commission that he's yet to give them. To go into all the world and preach the gospel. To teach. To baptize people and to continue to teach them. We read about that in the book of Acts where he carried that out. His attitudes he wanted them to have, his teachings, his examples. Judas was an immediate example of a follower who did not bear fruit. Who did not bear fruit. His greed and whatever caused him to be overtaken by Satan. The 12 apostles were the branches. Judas was taken away. And the 11 were cleansed. They were purified. They were they would face trials at later times more than they would ever realize. So this helped them to be bold. Part of Peter's boldness, of course, was having seen the crucifixion of Christ. That this enabled him to speak as he spoke. Oh, he was led by the Holy Spirit. But the power, the boldness, the courage that he had would have come from within, based upon now getting it, understanding what Jesus meant. I'm always with you. You know, let this mind be in you, Paul would later say. And Jesus' mind was in Paul. Whatever Paul did, he said, I do it through Christ. It's no longer I that live, Paul said. But what? Christ lives in me. He was a true branch, wasn't he? Of the vine, Jesus Christ. The right contact, it's essential for the physical well-being of a vine. And its branches, that relationship be retained. You couldn't take off a producing vine and say, boy, that vine produced the most off of that or that branch did off of that vine. And I'm just going to cut that one off. But it's now apart from the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus would later say. Abide in me. That's an intimate relationship. Abide in me, and I in you. The word abide appears a great number of times in this 15th chapter. We sing the song, abide with me. You're wanting Jesus to be with you. In a time of great need, in a time of sorrow, in a time of sadness, whatever the time may be. The word abide appears many times, and it means the maintenance of an unbroken connection and speaks of the need of contact and an active relationship between the believers and his Lord. Do we have that closeness? Do we maintain, you know, I preach and teach and we talk to you as a group that we need to maintain that closeness with God. If that contact, if that connection with Christ is broken, if we have a broken connection, we're in trouble. A friend of ours from Montana who passed away a number of years ago, but while he was at school of preaching, had a sermon one time in front of our assembly. And he had a bare electric wire in his hand. And he went and he plugged it in. It plugged up here somewhere. Over there maybe. He plugged it in. That was his left. Said, just like I got your attention now. He had our attention on that day, I thought. But Walker, if you don't pay attention to what you're doing, you go get yourself electrocuted. But he plugged that in and he held on to that we call live wire. He held on to that loose wire that current would normally flow through. But you know what? Somewhere along that cord, he had broken the contact. And that wire was not connected all the way to the source. Am I? Or am I disconnected? Am I connected to the source, or am I like that wire that's just dangling there? Looking like it could do something, but unable to do what it was supposed to be doing. It had the appearance, but it didn't serve its purpose. So Paul would say to the church at Corinth, as he ended the lessons, say this at the end of the 15th chapter, be steadfast, unmovable. And that's what Jesus is saying to his apostles. He said, boys, I'm going to be gone. I'm not going to be here. You've had me to lean on. When there was a problem, you could cry out, and I'd keep you from falling down into the water, oh you of little faith. You could let me know, and I was there to help. I want you to know that I can still be there, but in a different manner. You're going to have to absorb my teachings. You're going to have to know so much about me that you will not fall away. That you will not become like a branch that is not bearing fruit and that is cut off and is discarded and is burned in the fire. You'll be one who's on fire for the Lord, and that won't happen to you. And it says that the essential thing here is that the branch has to bear fruit. If you look out on your fruit trees, we don't have as many grapes around here, but we got fruit trees. And there's a branch on there, or there's a tree that's not bearing fruit. Cut that baby down if it's taking up space. Am I taking up space? Jesus said, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Are we connected to the source? Are we connected to Jesus? Are we doing everything within our power to stay connected? Or are we just like that piece of wire that thinks it's connected, that looks like it's connected, but it's not? One day we will give an account of our life. We will give an account of the words that are written in this Bible. And among those words is this particular allegory, this particular story, this particular encouragement of Jesus to those who would follow Him. Not just His disciples, but by application to us. Do we keep in constant contact? Do we abide in Him? Do we maintain that unbroken connection? Are we praying for Him, to Him fervently each and every day? Do we study God's Word whenever we have an opportunity to do it? Or do we slack up? Maybe we bear fruit next year. Maybe I'll read the Bible through next year. Maybe I'll go to meet my Maker next year or before next year. And I won't have time. the right fruits of productivity in this vine, in the branches. The threefold progression is presented. In verse 2 it says, every branch that beareth fruit. So each branch bears fruit. He cleanses it. So there are some purging at times. There are some things that happen to those who are bearing fruit. But it will bear more fruit. And verse 5 says that the same beareth much fruit. And there's application to us. Jesus is the vine. We need to maintain that relationship to Him as branches. These are not churches that are branches of Jesus' church. These are individuals who are branches of Jesus Himself, who are working in tandem with Jesus. The disciples are going to be believing the same things Jesus believes. They're going out and teach the same thing Jesus teaches. And their intention is to go to heaven, to be in that mansion that He said, I've gone to prepare for you. But before that day of preparation, before that day for which they prepare themselves, they need to have those days of preparation for that day that they will be required to be prepared. The Bible says, as far as the temptations we face, that we're not tempted by God, but there are trials that come our way. And with each temptation that we do face, there's a way of an escape, if we but take it. Jesus left us an example to follow in His steps, Peter said. We must be steadfast and faithful to Christ unto death, Revelation 2:10, advised one of the churches of Asia. So we need to examine our lives periodically and look at our lives. Are we still in contact with Jesus? Do we still have that unbroken connection? Are we constant and have a constant active relationship with Jesus? And I'm not talking about some hocus pocus thing out here. I'm talking about reading the Word, studying the Word, talking to God in prayer, and staying on a close basis with Him. I am the vine and you are the branches. Today, if you're here and not a Christian, why not come to Christ? Why not come to Christ today, confessing sins that's in your life, expressing your belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then to repent of the sins that you have in your life. Jesus' blood was shed on the cross that those sins you have might be taken away if we're in obedience to Him. We cannot abide in the vine unless we are part of the vine. Unless we begin in Christ, and we begin by being born again into Christ and into His church. This morning you have that opportunity, repenting and being baptized for remission of your sins. And then to arise from baptism to walk in newness of life, that you may bear fruit for Jesus Christ. As a Christian, if you fail to do those things that you need to do, or you fail to do those things that you know to do, be a good chance to make a promise to yourself. God has made promises to me. Promises of eternal life. Promise of salvation. And I need to renew my vow to Him. You can do that by praying to God. If you sin in the fashion of a public nature, you need the prayers of the church, we'd be glad to pray with you. If you desire to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity. We stand and sing the song selected. Shall we stand?